Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
I hear a lot of talk, or I read a lot of articles where there's a concern about the demise of cultural Christianity in America, right? And so people talk about the church being relevant. The church has to be relevant. And then I hear a lot of people talk about revival. What we need is revival. And I would say both of those things are true. We do need to be relevant. And we do need a revival. And a revival is only going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But I think there's something that we need to talk about that's holding back the church in America. And it's a word that's used, but I think we don't really fully understand it. It's idolatry. Have you guys heard that word, idolatry, before? See, it's used a lot in the Old Testament. It's used a lot in the New Testament. But I think that sometimes we hear teachings on it, and I hope I haven't taught that way. Maybe I have in the past. Like, it's just about misplaced priorities. Well, I make something an idol in my life. It's, well, you know, I'm kind of, it's too important in my life. It's getting in the way of my relationship with God. And there is the element. But it's much more serious than that. In fact, idolatry was what stopped the Israelites from accomplishing or getting close or hindering them from accomplishing God's will. Idolatry always got into the mix. It's a big deal. So much so, and we're going to find out how serious God is about it and wanting to get rid of it. The problem is when it enters in among God's people, it enters in the church, and the church can't move forward and be what God has called us to be. We as Christians are hindered from moving forward in what doing God's will and what he wants us to do. And that's not good, right? So idolatry is something we want to deal with and get out of the way. Now, the Apostle Paul entered, and we're going to see this in Acts, he enters into the city of Ephesus, and they are at the center of idolatry. They worship Artemis. The Greeks worship Artemis as a hunter, and these guys particularly, they worship Artemis as a fertility goddess. And they made statues and charms, and probably hitting the charm around your neck. I mean, miniature ones, ones you could put in your house. It was a big deal. And so as Paul began to preach the gospel, people began to give up their idols. In fact, they stopped practicing magic and sorcery and a lot of these things, and they burned scrolls in a huge bonfire in the middle of the town. Millions of dollars worth of stuff. Okay? I mean, they left their old life behind, so much so, and Paul taught for 2 years, and this began to affect the economy. It turned Ephesus upside down because so many people were leaving their idols and leaving their false religions and turning to Jesus and turning to him. It was amazing. And I just want to read, let me show you what happened. It says in verse 22, and having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. About that time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. That's what Christians used to be called before Christian. We used to be called the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear, and not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. Right? And there is danger, not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing. That was a huge temple. It was probably about a football field and a half long. It was huge. It was just like all of marble. and that she may even be disposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship. When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together into the theater. Theater seated about 24,000 people. It's pretty big. And they're dragging them with Gaius and Aristarchus and the Macedonians, who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. And even some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for most assembly was in confusion. I don't know, sounds like Facebook, doesn't it? Sorry. And most of them did not know why they had come together. Sounds kind of like a lot of protest, right? Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward, and Alexander motioning with his hand wanted to make a defense to the crowd, but when they recognized he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they all cried out one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." You guys see any parallels with stuff going on today? Confusion, you know what I'm saying? A lot of things going on here. When you start to make inroads for Jesus, the devil gets upset, and he starts making trouble. Now, what is idolatry? Well, obviously, the worship of idols, it's a worship of a false god, right? We know that. God created us in his image, yes? And so, when we make an idol, we're making an image of a god, we're making God in our image. We're reversing it. God made us in his image. We're just going, no, I'm going to make God in my image. And so what happens when we do that? We make God up to be something, what, that he's not. We put our attributes into him, and that's what the Greeks did, right? The Greeks had all these gods, you know, Zeus and all these people, and they were but like us, like people, right? All these made-up gods. But it's more, idolatry is far more insidious than just that. Romans 1:22 through 25, Paul explains what idolatry is. He says this, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So what is idolatry? You're worshiping creation. You're worshiping a false image of God. In fact, you're worshiping yourself, right? That's what you're doing, self-worship. It's like, oh, but we're not God. See, idolatry leads to worshiping a false image of God. In fact, idolatry is the means by which the devil influences and leads people away from God. It's disobedience. Idolatry is basically saying, you know what? I know what God says, but I'm going to do this anyways. It's saying, I know what his word says, I know what the Bible says, but you know what? I'm going to live this other way anyways, in disobedience. That all comes from idolatry, because we're no longer worshiping God, we're worshiping our own image. So, idolatry can even lead to a false image of Jesus. How many of you guys know that there's people in America today that worship a Jesus that doesn't exist? See, Jesus of the Bible is the God that we should worship. Amen? But how many of you guys know there's a Jesus of prosperity, right? There's a people worship a Jesus of you can do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, whatever that means. Right? There's a Jesus of, oh man, it's just all about love and you shouldn't judge anybody. Did Jesus talk about that? Yeah, but let's talk about it in context, right? And so people make up in their minds an idea of what they think God should be like, and they slap the label Jesus on, and they think, well, I'm good. Wrong. If you're not worshiping the Jesus of the Bible, you're worshiping a false God, even if you call him Jesus. Let me say that again. If you are not worshiping the Jesus that is revealed in the scripture, if you're worshiping a God of your own imagination, it doesn't matter what you call him, you might as well be bowing down to Artemis or Zeus, because you're making Jesus up. And people say that Jesus said things he never said. and they ignore many of the things that he taught. But we need, if we want to find out who Jesus is, we need to go to the Gospels. Amen? I know this is going to rub people the wrong way, but that's okay. Sometimes we need to be rubbed a little bit the wrong way. We need to know what the truth is. Now, what does idolatry lead to? Okay, it leads to a worship of a false version of God, right? See, I'm talking about, this happens in the church. We think, those are, you know, the false religions. And no, we're talking about God's house, God's people. When we start getting away from the Lord, we can get into idolatry, and it can hinder us from doing God's will. It can hinder our lives, and it's not good. So that's one thing it does. The second thing we see is that idolatry leads to sexual immorality. Did you notice that when you look back on the scripture, right, what did it say? It said that because they worshipped all this false image of God, what did they do? It says he gave them up. God gave them up to their desires. Okay, you want to continue to live, you want to ignore my commands, you want to continue to live the way you want to live. Okay, go for it. God said that? Well, he didn't say it. Like, go for it. But that's scary, gang. I don't know about you, but I read that. I don't want to be one of those guys that's in that place where God just says, all right, Dave, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to promptings. You're not listening to any of the messages I'm sending my way. You're not reading my word. All right, go do what you want. Right? That's not good, gang. We don't want to be in that. Anybody want to be in that area? No. So what happens is, and then you guys can read the rest of the passage. Some of you guys know it. But it's interesting today or this week hearing all the stuff about Hollywood. Have you guys seen any of all the sexual allegations of, who's that, Weinstein, whatever. I don't care. I don't know who that is, but all these Hollywood guys are coming out. Kevin Spacey, all of a sudden now, you know, all these different names are coming out. I don't know why now, and I don't know why people are surprised. It's Hollywood. Hollywood has made pornography like a number one industry in America, if not the number one industry. It brings in billions of dollars, right? Pornography. It's funny if Hollywood says they're against guns. Just go to Netflix and see how many pictures of people have guns. Really? You know, they say, you hear actors and actresses say that they're all about, you know, oh, we can't objectify women. What do you see? They objectify men and women. And they turn, and this is what God hates, is when with sexual immorality, what happens is men and women are turned into sex objects. They're objectified. And they're not honored. You know, I wasn't taught about women being equal growing up. I was taught you should treat them better than you. I was taught you should lift them up. I was taught that they're daughters of the king. And so you better watch how you treat them. Amen? What is this equality? Is equality? It's like, no. I'm going to serve my wife. Amen? You get lazy. I'll be like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. If your husband's here, don't do that. But this is the thing, is that we don't realize sexual immorality, it's not just an individual thing. And we say, oh, well, it's just what happens between two consenting adults. Who cares? But it affects everything. The slave trade would not exist if there wasn't sexual immorality, right? Prostitution and pornography. And we're often, the people joke about that in the world, but pornography is devastating. Some people, it will devastate some people mentally and destroy their relationships. Don't think it's like just harmless. So this is a whole area. And I know, when I say, you know, the Bible says that, you know, sex is reserved between marriage, between a man and a woman. Oh, that's so old-fashioned. Well, that's just what the Bible says. And it's hard because we have the culture telling us something different, right? It says, hey, you know, feels good, do it, right? And so we don't say that to be mean. And I don't think God means that to be mean and that he doesn't want you to have fun. But he knows there's something dangerous out there. He knows where the wolves are hiding. And he doesn't want you to be prey to the wolves. And he's trying to protect you. And he's saying, no, stay within my fence, little sheep. I love you. I want purity for you. I want to protect you. I know you don't understand why I put these boundaries here, but they're for a reason, so you don't get eaten up and torn up by the enemy. But see, we go, nah, man, God's a killjoy. I don't believe this stuff. Whatever. I'm going to live with the world. But that's your choice. But then you enter into idolatry. See, you've got to choose. Do you want the God of your imagination, or do you want the God revealed in Scripture? And sometimes it's hard. Amen? Sometimes it's hard to stop. And when you've known a certain way of life, right? It's hard. I remember years ago when I talked to this guy about, you know, what's it like having sex before marriage? He's like, the Bible says that you shouldn't do that? I was like, yeah, you're supposed to wait till you get married. And he was shocked by that. And I was shocked that he was shocked. I was like, yeah, that's in there. Called fornication. What does that mean? I was just had a whole conversation. I thought, wow, I thought people just knew this stuff, but they don't. But God's got something, gang. I know sex can be great and all that, but you know what? God's got something way beyond that we can't even imagine. Amen? Way beyond. So, I mean, I don't want to continue harping on this, but we need to realize Paul gives a little bit of context. This is a couple of verses, 1 Corinthians 10, 6-8. Now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. He's talking about the Israelites. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up and play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell on a single day. God killed them dead, 23,000. Did you just say that in a sermon? Yes, I did. That's in the New Testament. That's in the New Testament. I'm going, whoa. Because even me as a pastor, I'm looking, man, God, that's, wow, that's harsh. What happened? And then the context of the story is that Moses has the Israelites, and they're all at the base of Mount Sinai, and there's this fire and smoke, and he goes up for 40 days, and they're getting impatient. Where's Moses? Aaron, make us a golden calf. I mean, that wouldn't be my first thought, but again, or so I live in the 21st century. But okay. And so that wasn't the worst of it. Then they started worshiping the golden calf and they started partying. Basically, it says they got up and they rose up and played. And that's really a euphemism. It wasn't play like little kids play, like skipping and playing with toys. No, play meant they had orgies. It was bad. And they just, however they wanted to pleasure themselves, they did. They did whatever they wanted. And then when Moses came down off the mountain and God commanded, strap a sword to either side and go through. Now, who's on the side of the Lord? On this side. Who's not on the side of the Lord? On that side. 23,000 died that day. Now, aren't you glad God doesn't deal with us today like that? Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for grace that covers me. I'm not going to just sin and then boom, be gone. But what Paul is saying here is don't take the grace and the love that God pours out on you lightly. What God did was heavy. Amen? And then what he did on the cross was heavy. So what does Paul say to do? He says in Colossians 3, 5 through 6, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, do you guys know what covet means? Covet means not just I want something, I want something that you own. I like your shoes. No, I like your shoes. Take them off. You know what I mean? That's covetousness, right? Don't worry, I'm not going to steal your shoes. They're not my size anyways. These are 16s. Nobody has these. So, but on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. So God's serious, right? So, I mean, we have to make a decision. Are we going to buy into this? Are we going to go, Dave, yeah, whatever. That's your trip. I'm accountable to stand before the Lord and say that I taught the truth. Because if I teach a lie, I will suffer. So I'm telling you the truth is according to Scripture the best that I can. And what he's saying is we put this stuff to death in us. Why? It's only going to hinder us. It's only going to hinder us. Now, there's a big difference between idolatry and someone who struggles. Maybe you've fallen back into a sin or something like that, or maybe you struggle, but you know what's right. That's different than just totally blowing off God and going, ah, I'm going to live the way I want. I'm going to worship, I'll get a little bit of this, and I'm going to leave the rest. You're worshiping your own God. God wants all of you or none of you. That might sound harsh, but it's true. Idolatry divides God's kingdom by dividing us inside of ourselves. Divides us up as who we are. We're supposed to, my identity is supposed to be in Christ. Amen? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's Christ who lives within me. But the devil, he wants to, it's like he's got a remote control. When we get involved in these areas into idolatry, into disobedient living, it's like we're giving the devil a remote control so he can switch channels. You guys ever have that issue? You know, you're sitting on the couch, maybe you got other family members there and they're changing channels, just surfing them. They can't land on one, you know, just 1, 3, 5, 6, 7, Fox, CNN, MSNBC. What are you doing? Stay. Give that to me, right? What are you doing? When you're doing idolatry, you're basically, you're giving a remote control to the devil so he can switch your channels. He can switch it off of God. He can switch it off of the worship. He can switch it on to these things that grab a hold of your heart and take you away from the Lord. They divide you. You get divided within. And God doesn't want us to be divided. Amen? A divided kingdom will not stand. But when we avoid idolatry, when we deal with it in our lives, we cast down our idols, what happens? What happens? We're not divided anymore. We're for Jesus. We're all for the kingdom. But see, it takes courage to cast down our idols. Amen? I mean, it's hard. It's hard. Because things, possessions, money, even a sexual morality, a lifestyle, things can be, they can grab a hold of us. But you can be free. You can have victory. But it takes making the decision. Amen? It takes making that decision. And there's a word I want to share with you called consecration. Have you guys heard of consecration? It means to be holy. In other words, or to separate yourself. We are consecrated to God. That is, we are to be a servant of Him alone. To consecrate yourself basically is to say, you know what, I belong to the Lord. You make that decision. I belong to Jesus. Can you say that? Can you say that with me? 1, 2, 3. I belong to Jesus, right? I will serve no other God. I will serve no other idol. I belong to Jesus. That's the first thing. And then, what was the second thing? Do you know, if you look a little back in that passage, it said they created this huge bonfire, and man, they burned millions of dollars worth of idols and just stuff that had to do with idolatry. There was no plan B. There was just a plan A. I'm leaving it behind. I'm burning this old thing. It's done. Now don't go home and start creating fires in your backyard, because I'm going to probably get calls on that. But what I'm saying is it needs to be that decisive. We need to make a decision. Are we for the Lord or are we for this world? Amen? And I'm not here, don't take this as me like, wow, you know, I'm doing all this. Pastor Dave is just doing great and this is, man, that's a hard thing to follow. No, it can be a daily struggle. But it begins with that decision to say, I'm the Lord's. And then what? There is no plan B. There is no way out of this. Is it hard? It can be. The narrow road is kind of hard when we are trying to live as a Christian in this world that has values that are very opposite of ours. But the joy not even that come later, the joy that will come into you now, today, this morning, as you say, enough is enough is enough, I give my heart to you, Lord. The joy that you will experience, the release you will experience, the victory, the purity, the power of his presence in your life is unmatchable. There's nothing else like it. Nothing else. But that's America's problem, gang. That's the problem of the church. Are we willing to cast down our idols? Are we willing to worship not only in spirit, but spirit and in truth? When we do, there's nothing that can stop us. There's nothing that will stop the church from turning these islands upside down, from turning America upside down, the world. Idolatry is it, gang. Let's get it out of our lives and give our hearts fully to God. Amen. Let's pray.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.